Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we present Perfect Popic.
You mean Perfect Pop?
No, I mean Perfect Popic. You know, our friend Bob Popic?
Yeah, he is kind of perfect, isn't he? I mean, that voice.
Yeah, and that beard.
And that overall sense of joyful exuberance.
Yeah, he's amazing. What were we talking about again?
Music something, the Smiths, I don't know. All right, we got a little Founders. All Day IPA.
Mm-hmm. From the beer capital of the world, or beer capital of the United States, or Beer City, USA, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
And we like this one in particular, not only because they give you 3 extra beers in a pack. That's actually 15. The number one reason. You get a 15-pack instead of a 12.
Like Stroh's.
But also because it's how you should listen to Rock in the Suburbs.
All day.
All day.
Mm-hmm. With an IPA.
And also...
every night.
Oh, I thought you were going to say every day.
Oh.
All right. You know, Bud was scolding us yesterday about how we've kind of been lax on the everyday thing.
Yeah.
You got to bring that back.
Got to get it in.
All right. So, it is Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lane.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us...
Bob Popic, who's drinking bourbon.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Three
yeah.
Fingers.
Talk about the bourbon. The bourbon was provided by our
Rob.
Friend here, Rob Gates.
Yes.
Hello, Rob.
Rob,
hello.
Why don't you speak to
Welcome.
The bourbon?
Oh, the bourbon. So, for those of you who don't know, which is probably most of you, I live in Louisville, Kentucky, which, of course, is the home of bourbon. And what we've provided for Bob and anyone else here who would like it is Willett bourbon.
It's very smooth, woodsy flavor.
Yep. New personal favorite of mine.
It's great stuff. Anytime you want to bring a bottle of bourbon over.
It's going to go down well.
Yes.
I need a nap.
I'm good.
Bob's been sleeping on the lawn all
okay.
week. So.
Yeah, they have me in a shed somewhere back here.
So roll him out every morning.
Yes.
Yes. He can.
But thanks for having
he
me.
Emerges from the shed. He emerges from the shed in the morning, and he's got this big beard, and
right.
he sort of frightens the children
yes.
here out in the suburbs. Yes. Yeah.
Brushing leaves off himself.
Yeah. You got a room in the shed? I've been sleeping underneath a deck all week.
But thanks for having me.
Like when it rains, I have to roll to different parts so the rain doesn't come to the slats.
That's right.
And that voice you heard is?
Bud Verge.
Thanks, Bud, for being here. And then on Skype, we have from Colorado, Matt Sebastian.
Hello.
Thanks, Matt.
And Matt does the awesome college rock website.
Slicing up eyeballs.
80s college rock,
mm-hmm.
we should mention. Okay. So what we're going to do today, it's part of a series that we do occasionally called Perfect Pop. People pick a song that they think is just perfect, and we add it to our playlist. We've done this somewhere in the range of 15 to 20 times. We should probably take inventory. I think our intern did take inventory,
right?
He did,
yes. So we'll have to check, but big shout out to Sam Lisker, who's been helping out a lot with the website and our lists and our pages.
Bud has participated in Perfect Pop before.
Yes,
what
he has.
Song did you pick?
I picked California Dreaming by Mamas and the Papas.
Remember that.
Yes,
great
that
one.
Was some good stuff.
Patrick had some dad stuff to do that night. He wasn't quite around to
That's
chime
right.
in.
That's right. I kind of missed the very end there. That was the Running Songs episode, I believe.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it was when we were doing that, right? And then he picked that song. And then when we kicked it off, I picked The Laws, There She Goes.
Yeah, I remember that. That was fantastic.
And you picked...
I believe I picked a song by Animal Collective.
That's
called
right.
Who Could Win a Rabbit. Yeah.
That's right. Here you go. All right, so today... Bob Popic is going to make a pick, and Matt Sebastian's going to make a pick. So,
I can't wait.
So let's start with Bob here first. This relates to some conversation we had earlier in the week. But again, for maybe people who didn't hear that, first tell people a little bit about your musical background and you know what you do in the day job here. I think that helps kind of set this
well,
up.
Well, my day job is I am the team DJ for both the Baltimore Orioles and the Baltimore Ravens. I am the stadium DJ. So everything you hear inside the stadium is...
Everything
played
that's
by me.
Not organ music.
Correct.
Right?
I even play the organ music.
What?
We have organ sounds on our little computer, and they're played perfectly by me by just clicking
that's
a button.
Great.
And then I'm also the Navy DJ as well, Navy football.
Navy
DJ
football.
As well. Yep.
Excellent.
Does that, now do you have to, well, okay, first, hang on. I got to ask about the organ thing. So there's no organist in the stadium anymore.
No. Well, there was never at Camden Yards.
Oh, really?
Or there was never, we won't play organ music at M&T, but there's never been an organist at Camden Yards.
I don't know how I feel about this. It's you're sort of like
This is like a shattered vision. Yes. Thing happening.
The genie is out of the bottle now.
You traditionalist.
I'm sorry.
I thought every time I went to a ball game, there was an organist somewhere up in the rafters.
Well, there are many stadiums that do, but at Camden Yards, it's all
really.
It's all perfectly played by a computer. Click effects.
Yeah.
All
right.
They're taking over, man.
So you do. So all the music heard at Camden Yards, you are playing that.
Correct.
At some point. And you, and so do you, are there certain songs that really sort of get the crowd going or I got two questions. One is, are there certain go-to songs that just get the crowd going? And then number two, are there certain songs that you particularly like and you kind of can sneak in a little bit? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there, let me speak to that. The first, first things first, Seven Nation Army. It's reactionary. You know, when you play the song, people start going, oh, it's reactionary. So in that sense, that's what you're looking for as a stadium crowd anthem to get everyone involved. You know, you're looking for a recognizability and, you know, you want that immediate response from a crowd. Secondly, the second question is, we have a thing called Orioles in the Community. And once in a while, I will throw in the Smiths' Ask during the community segment. So if there's something you'd like to try, if there's something you'd like to try, ask me, I won't say no, how could I? But it works well with the community because the lyrics of the song are very pleasant, which is very rare for a Smiths song.
Yes, absolutely.
So, okay, and how long have you been the DJ at the Orioles games?
This is my 18th year at Orioles, and it is my 8th year at the Ravens and my 3rd year at Navy.
Okay.
So
this is funny, and I'm not I'm not making this up, Bob. This is a true story. When I first moved to DC area in 2007, okay? I went to an Orioles game with a friend of mine, and during one of the inning breaks, I heard Can't Hardly Wait by the Replacements come on. And I was this place has a cool DJ. And that was you.
Yeah. No, cool. And
how crazy is that?
It's come over time. You know, when I first started the Orioles, I was very closely watched. And I think over time, a trust has been built up between me and my boss and my boss's boss to let me not necessarily have free reign, because there are certain situations, you know, and then there are certain situations, you know, that I need to play certain songs, but there's certain situations where my boss has to pull the reins.
Yeah.
Because I will go
all the way.
Right. Yeah. You know, and, you know, I can throw in a little tidbit here and there of Can't Hardly Wait by the Replacements or Monkey Gone to Heaven by the Pixies, or play Ask, or play How Soon Is Now, or play, you know, I know I'm the only stadium DJ, and there's only 30 of us in the country that's playing these songs.
Yeah, that's very
but
cool.
They're important. You know, they're important to the fans that come out, because they're all around our age, and they all love that stuff, too.
Yeah. And do you have any kind of acute physical reaction when you hear the song Thank God I'm a Country Boy by John Denver?
For me, that song was played in the mid-70s, you know, when I was, it started when I was only 9, and there is an affinity for that song, you know, there's a connection. Personally, I would never want to take that away from, you know, from the fans, you know, to me that is ingrained, it's there forever, and I would never want to take it away. It's been replaced twice. In the mid-80s, they tried Twist and Shout.
Oh.
It was quickly changed. And then in the early 90s, I believe, when they first moved into Camden Yards, when Eli Jacobs owned the team, they tried Twist and Shout again. Peter Angelos brought it back, and it's here to stay.
Wow, fantastic. Yeah. So for people who may not know, if you go to Orioles home game, you always hear, is it the seventh inning? Or
yes.
Thank God I'm a Country Boy by John Denver. It's a big, they started at Memorial Stadium, right, up in.
Do you want to hear that story real quick?
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Okay, the story, quick story. John Denver was very close friends to a shortstop, Mark Belanger.
Yeah.
John Denver gave him his new album. It contained Country Boy. Two girls were the stadium DJ at Memorial Stadium. Two twin sisters, actually.
Wow.
They would just throw on an album during batting practice, flip the album over when one side ended. And they heard Thank God I'm a Country Boy, thought it would work well for the seventh inning stretch, and used it.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's
it. Yeah, that's it.
Very, very iconic moment. When you
I guess that makes sense, because I never really understood the connection between Country Boy and Baltimore.
Yeah, like, Mark Belanger apparently is the answer.
Mark Belanger, yeah, and Dee Belanger, his wife, were the answer.
Okay, so I think is sometime down the road we should have Bob on again and really go into like stadium music and
awesome.
All that kind of stuff. That would be a lot of fun.
Yes.
Right, but this was a good little taste of that. But my point being, going back to 10 years ago, I was in the stadium and made a mental note. There's a good DJ in this ballpark.
Yeah,
right.
Oh,
so that was cool. Yeah.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Okay, so do you have a pick for us for perfect pop song?
I do, and my pick is This Charming Man by The Smiths.
Nice.
It was released 31 October 1983. It is their second single release, and it is probably the first song or their first appearance on Top of the Pops that made them recognizable to the Brits.
Is this where he was singing into the flower bouquet? You know that,
he had
that?
The flower bouquet in his back pocket. They were, I think, gladiolas.
Gladiolas. Yeah, that was gladiolas. What I heard. Yeah.
Yeah, so this was the famous Top of the Pops. And then if you want to go further, Noel Gallagher, who was the guitarist of Oasis, one of Bud's wheelhouse bands, said, you know, who were these hooligans with sweaters and sneakers on? He didn't necessarily like them at the beginning, but grew to love Morrissey and the Smiths.
Why do you think This Charming Man is the is a perfect pop song, despite the fact that you had it number two on your Smiths overall ranking?
I think
list,
I may have it even lower than actually. But the reason I like it is because it's one of the rare tunes by Marr that he's written that is in a major key.
Mm.
A lot of his songs are written in minor keys. And the opening line, Punctured Bicycle. We know the bicycle isn't punctured. It's the wheel of the tire of the wheel on the bicycle that's punctured. But you can't say that. You know, it would take up. It doesn't rhyme. Nothing works with it. So Punctured Bicycle, you automatically know what it is. It sets you in immediately. There's all kinds of goodies in this song. Jumped Up Pantry Boy was a line from a homoerotic play called Sleuth that starred Laurence Olivier. And Michael Caine is the jumped-up pantry boy.
Is that right?
Yes. So it's got millions and millions of little gems for you to listen to. And it moves very well. Like I said, it's a song that moves well. Marr plays it in in the chord of G, which is a major chord.
It's peppy, but it also has it's a little bit sort of off, too,
yeah.
Right? The beat is not
correct.
Quite exactly what you would expect. So it kind of works in two different ways there.
And there's two main versions of the song. You have the John Porter original, where you have basically Johnny Marr going with the guitar first, and then the band joins in. And then you have I call it the Hatful of Hollow version, which was engineered by Roger Pusey. The Peel version, and I like it when the whole band is playing together from Starn.
And that's I grew up knowing.
Right, and I think it's a very cleaner version than the... and then I think Warner Brothers added it in 1989 to the self-titled album. It wasn't originally on the self-titled.
Okay.
It was
not. Right. Mm-hmm. All right. Great pick.
Great pick.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Great pick. So here's what we'll do. We'll play a little bit of the John Peel version that you talked about from Hatful of Hollow.
Okay.
We'll take our little break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to get Matt Sebastian's pick for a perfect pop song. Okay, Patrick.
Yes, Jim.
This is the part of the show where we need to talk about ourselves for a moment.
Just for a minute or two, right? We'll just quickly talk about our show and how you can review it and rate it.
Yes. You know, I like to think of myself as kind of a humble person.
I think you're extremely humble.
I don't like
for someone
to really make this kind of ask, but
there's
a reason. We'll get into that reason in a minute. Mm-hmm. But what you can do as a listener, if you like the show, you don't have to pay us anything.
Not unless you want to.
Can't do that. We'll pass the hat. But one, you know, sort of virtual currency would be to go onto iTunes and rate and review the show.
It means a lot. It really does. It helps with the circulation of the show in the sense of the higher rated shows sometimes pop up a little bit more frequently to those who might not know about it.
Right.
And certainly gives that mark of quality when you go to look for a podcast. You see those five stars there. It's very helpful.
It is. It's helpful. As you said, more people will discover the show, more people will listen to the show. Mm-hmm. You say, Jim, why does this matter to me? I'm already listening to the show. I don't care if more people listen to it or not. I want you to be sort of like my little indie band and not, you know, become like a big major label success.
Yes.
But here's the thing. The major label success part, the charts, all that kind of thing, that matters to the people, to our bosses.
That's
right.
And that's probably the most important thing because we need to still be allowed to do this
when
we wish.
That's right. So in order to continue to get the okay to come over to the house and record the podcast from our wives, we need to show them that people actually listen to the show.
They check the ratings every Monday, and they have a conference call. So we just need to make sure that keeps happening.
It's brutal.
It's rough.
Brutal, man. So what you do is you go to iTunes, and you find Rock in the Suburbs, and then you click the little stars, a certain number of stars.
Five.
Five stars would be good. And then also, if you can, put a little review in there, too, how much you like
the show. Couple sentences.
All right, so do that. And let's get back to the show.
All right.
Okay, and we're back on the deck. We have some Founders All Day IPA.
Mm-hmm.
We heard Bob Popick's pick for Perfect Pop, This Charming Man by the Smiths.
Heard about his very cool job.
Yep, two different versions of that song. And now we turn to Matt Sebastian of Slicing Up Eyeballs, and he's going to make a pick for a Perfect Pop song. Right, Matt?
Yeah, and I'm going to cheat a little bit because I'm picking one song but two different versions by different artists.
Oh.
starting with Neil Young's Winter Long.
Nice.
And the cover by the Pixies.
Oh.
Neil Young is probably, you know, despite my love of 80s college rock, Neil Young is probably my favorite artist. Okay. And this is one of my favorite songs by his. This was my wife Jen and I. This was our wedding song. We used both this and the Pixies version. And I just think it's a very simple song. The lyrics are actually pretty straightforward, which is not always the case with Neil. And it's kind of just sloppy and dirty and the simple song of longing, you know, I waited for you winter long, you seem to be where I belong. It's all illusion anyway. I just think it's unusual for him. You know, it's actually a song he recorded and sat on for years. It didn't come out until the Decade compilation, but it was recorded around the time of On the Beach and Tonight's the Night. And, you know, he'd been playing it for years before that anyways, but he still plays it occasionally. I've seen him play it. I've seen the Pixies play it. So,
wow.
The Pixies version I love because they actually rev it up a little bit. It's got a great melody, and they kind of really bring that to the forefront. And Pixies, you have both Black Francis and Kim Deal singing it together, yeah, pretty much the whole song. And I just love the way their voices go together.
Wow.
Fabulous.
I like that on this episode we have like two different versions, yes, of songs.
The duality.
So it's again sort of shows like a song that's a perfect song can be interpreted by different people, mm-hmm, or even reinterpreted by the same artist and still hold, sure, up, right?
Yeah. Sure. Oh, I love it. That's a fantastic song. That period of Neil Young for me, I don't know. You know, he does have so many phases of his career, but that period, that Tonight's the Night, On the Beach, kind of like On the Beach to me is one of my very favorite Neil Young albums. I think it's pretty underrated.
Yeah, me too.
It's really just a fabulous record. If people are into Neil Young and you don't really know that record, that one will just blow you away. For the Turnstiles and everything else that's on that, but this really has that sound and that feel, that kind of easygoing vibe to it. It's really a great song.
I just love the like the layers of guitars, yeah, on it and everything. It's, you can tell it's just really well crafted, yeah, song, right?
Yeah.
Supposedly it was recorded the same day they did "Walk On" for "On the Beach."
Oh wow, I can hear that.
You can kind of hear, yeah, that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, I mean, I've used that song as a wedding song. A couple have picked that song for their wedding song, uh-huh, but I was a late bloomer with Neil Young. I mean, you know, necessarily at age 11, you're not going to hear "The Needle," right, and "The Damaged Heart."
No.
But I mean, but that also, I know it. I didn't know it was a Neil Young song until I played it at a wedding.
Oh, is that right?
I always thought it was a Pixie song.
Huh.
Correct.
The funny thing for me is I'm pretty sure I heard the Neil Young version first, and I was into the Pixies way before, oh, I was into, hmm, the Young. I had a roommate in college who was a total hippie, and like total hippie. The day he moved in, he put his bags down and hitchhiked to Red Rock to go see Fish. And I didn't like any of the music he played, except he kept playing this Neil Young live album, Weld, that had come out a couple of years earlier. And that's what got me into him. And then at some point I realized the Pixies had covered, I think it was a B-side in the Bossa Nova days.
Yeah.
And so it was surprising to me. They actually do another great Neil Young cover. They do "I've Been Waiting for You" off the first Neil Young album. The Pixies covered around the same time.
Neil Young seems to have inspired a lot of alternative bands,
yeah,
from that era, late, certainly, 80s, early 90s, mm-hmm, I would say, mm-hmm, in particular.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, cool. Thank you very much, Matt, and thanks for being with us all this week.
Yeah, fantastic.
Oh, you're welcome. Matt. Thanks for having me.
Been
Thank
fantastic.
You very much.
All right, so we will play out with the Pixies version of Winter,
yes,
Long. But before we do that, we need to remind people. In fact, I want to engage Bud Verge here for a moment because I'm kind of forgetting a little bit how frequently people should listen to Rock in the Suburbs.
Every day.
There you go.
And Bud, don't you have a story with the Pixies? I mean, with your association with, you know,
from being UMass. From Massachusetts? Yeah.
Right.
There may have been a time in the early 80s when I was at UMass when there was a band that played in the opposite dorm next to us.
Okay.
I think it was Chadbourne, and we were in Greeno, and it might have been a couple of folks from the Pixies in that band. Like,
nice.
Like Black Francis and Joey Santiago as well. So we may have heard the beginning of the Pixies.
Wow.
Okay.
Pretty one night, cool. We're out there playing multiple frisbee, awesome. Or going to the Greeno sub shop at night, awesome. And hearing the beginning of the Pixies. So, yeah, they were always a favorite band through Amherst and UMass. We saw them many a times down like Sheehan's Underground Pub and some other places like that. So, I was in on the Pixies early.
Very, very cool.
So if you go by sort of like their Nirvana lore and everything, right? Like, if not for the Pixies, this whole like '90s explosion of alternative rock would not have happened, and maybe if not for you being there, the Pixies wouldn't have happened, right?
There were a lot of people there.
And see, I don't get into the Pixies until Nirvana. So I discovered them late, you know. So I don't know what I was doing. I was listening to too much Smiths.
That's what it was.
Like, get off the Smiths, dude. You
I
know,
was listening to REM.
Listen to somebody else, dude. You know? Jeez, we get it. You like the Smiths. Move on. You
know? All right. So where were we? Oh, yeah. Listen every day.
Every day.
Every day. And you can find the show on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, or other podcast platforms. Mm-hmm. You can also visit our website, suburbspod.com. You can call us.
Call us anytime.
And talk about a song you think is a perfect pop song. In fact, we're going to do another series of listener picks.
Oh, can't wait.
Coming up
soon. That's a lot of fun.
So here's your chance to get in on that. You call the Suburban Party Line at
612-440-1984.
Or you can email us rock@suburbspod.com. Or you can talk to us through the social medias of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, @suburbspod. Mm-hmm. Right?
Stick your head out the window and yell.
Or that one. That's always a favorite. Okay. Thanks, everyone, for hanging out this whole week.
Rob. Bob.
Thanks for having me. Really,
Bob
I Popic. Do really appreciate it.
Yeah,
thank you, Bob,
great.
Very much.
Yeah. Love to have you back again. Bud Verge.
Pleasure to be here again.
Thank you, Bud.
Rob Gates.
Pleasure as always. Jim, Patrick.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Rob.
Thanks for the bourbon.
Absolutely.
And Matt Sebastian.
Thank you for having me again.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
All right. Thanks so much. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I guess we'll talk to you guys next week. Here's the Pixies, Winter Long.
I hated the MASH theme because that meant I had to go to bed. It was 8:30. We're done. I was done.